You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless word,
no one could express
how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. That's what it is. It's all about Jesus.
Amen. It's all about Jesus. You know, every 100%, 100% is all about Jesus.
Yeah.
So Jesus don't just own a little bit of us. When we give our hearts and our life to Jesus, we give him the whole deal. And so praise God you're here today to worship him. And here's the deal. He takes care of what is his. And he takes care of it perfectly. So we want to take heart in that. We want him to have it all because he'll take care of whatever we give him. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer this morning before we continue on in our worship. Dear God, we just want to thank you. And we come to you to say it's all about you, Jesus. None of us could save ourselves, Lord. None of us could even come close to working our way into heaven. We've all already blown it. And, Lord, we are sinful right down into the very thoughts of our hearts, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, in thanksgiving to you today for going to that cross and taking our sin upon you and giving your life for us, Lord. You are the only one who could pay for our sin. You are the only one who ever lived a perfect life, was flawless. Morally flawless. And you fulfilled every part of the law. You didn't deserve to die, so then you could give your life for us. Let us live for you. Oh, Lord, bless us as we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We'll do an offertory hymn at this time. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased
purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorn on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death do lie cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. And singing thy praises before thee I'll bow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him that shall be thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness to see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above.
If you have a bulletin, you need to make sure you do get. We have been going through Acts, mainly focusing in on the power of God. Because, you know, the Acts is the Acts of the early church, but I believe it's the Acts of a powerful God through the early church. Amen? That church couldn't do the things that needed to be done. It was God who did it through his church. Last week, we learned about Saul, who was a persecutor of Christians. We know him as Paul in the New Testament. He was going to Damascus to drag Christians out of their homes. He had the power and authority to do so. He was thoroughly convinced that Judaism was the way to go, that that whole thing about Jesus was a sham, and that he was actually bringing people to justice in his own mind serving God, he thought. And God stopped him on that road to Damascus. In fact, we studied all about that last week, how he blinded him. He changed his sight so that he could see rightly. He gave him back sight after 3 days, and he could see things much differently. How many of you guys can witness to that? Who's born again out there? Did you see things differently? After God opened your eyes, he's the one that pulls the scales off your eyes. And all of a sudden, everything looks different. Amen? You begin to see things from a whole new perspective. And so today, we're going to kind of continue on with that thought. We're going to pick it up at 9, verse 20 in the book of Acts. And we're going to talk about how the power of God is boldness. I'm not going to say that the power of God gives us boldness. Because I'm going to tell you something. We don't have the boldness. Can I get an amen to that? I'm not as bold as I need to be, and I can't dig deep, and I can't manufacture it, guys. I just don't have it. It's God who does it through us. And so, like, the reason why I really feel that way is I've seen some of the most meek, mild people become some of the boldest people in Christ. Do I get an amen to that? I know Brother Bill tells me that, is this right, Brother Bill, that whenever company come to your house, whenever you were a young kid, you try to hide from even those, the company that came and everybody, because he's just by nature as a human being, very, very meek in that way. But I can tell you, I go out on visitation with Brother Bill all the time. The power of God through Brother Bill can be very bold. And you see, that's God who's doing that. That's not Brother Bill. I myself, I'm one of the ones that used to kick the church people off of my porch. If they came my way, I told them there wasn't nothing there for me that I wanted to talk to them about, and so I'd ask them to leave or not answer the door. That was the kind of attitude that I had, and now I'm the one knocking on the doors. So who gave me that boldness? It's literally God. It's literally God. You know, a preacher once told me, he said, we were in a situation where they were saying they really had some apprehension about allowing us to preach in this particular engagement the way that we were going to do it. And he came over to me, he said, "Brother, don't you give it a second thought. They may not want it, but they need it." And I mean, that really stuck in my mind. I can tell you, they need the witness of Jesus Christ in their life. They may not want it, because a lost person, somebody's dead in their trespasses and sins, they don't necessarily know what they need. Amen? I can tell you, Ben didn't know what he needed laying there. You know, he had no control over what was going to happen next. God knew what he needed. Amen? And so God gave him what he needed. And God will give us what we need so that we can give others what they need. And that's exactly what happened in Saul's life. So we're going to read a little bit here. We're going to look at this account. So what we know is that that God stopped Saul on the Damascus Road. He blinded him. He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Jesus himself said that. He disabled him so that he couldn't do any more harm to himself or anybody else. He asked him why he was kicking against the goads. That means that Jesus had been trying to get his attention for some time. Okay, goads are sharp spikes that you use to direct a big ox. Okay, and so these goads had been poking at him, but he wasn't listening. So God, he had to lay a smack down on him. Did you ever have that happen to you? You got to lay a smack down on you? All right, he laid the smack down on Saul because he had a big plan for him, okay? And his plan was so big that literally he blinded him right there on the spot. He said, "You're not going to do any more harm to yourself or anybody else for a time." And then during that time, he showed him some stuff, okay? He was showing him some stuff. And then he picked out Ananias, and he said, "Now, Ananias, there's this guy called Saul of Tarsus, and I want you to go pray over him, give him that he might get his sight back." And Ananias said, "Whoa, hold on. Haven't you heard about this guy? He's been like persecuting the church and dragging people off and all this. He's got the authority to drag all of us in." But that power of God gave Ananias boldness to go anyways. And whenever he prayed over him, that power of God confirmed in Ananias' heart. He actually said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." So he considered him a brother solely on what God had said, not what his eyes were seeing or what his mind knew, solely because of what God himself had said. I'm going to tell you something, guys. We got a lesson to learn right there. The power of God needs to be in us so boldly that we will believe God at his word. Do I get an amen? Not by what we see with our eyes, not by what we know, you know, in our gut. You know, the world's always saying, follow your gut, follow your heart. You know what, guys? Both of those are going to fail us. Now, God can speak to our gut sometimes, you know, but we just need to make sure that we're following God and His Word. You see, His Word will speak to us, and even if I get a gut feeling, I need to go back over here because sometimes it's just indigestion. I need to check it out with God's Word. And I need to say, all right, what do you want me to do? Well, I'll tell you what, during this time, that's what was happening with Saul. Okay? During this time, that's what was happening with Saul. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that he showed him. But first, we're just going to go ahead and pick it up at verse 20. Immediately, I love that word. How are we supposed to obey God? Immediately. That's obedience. Tomorrow is no for today, guys. It's disobedience for today. You don't know if you'll have tomorrow. We need to obey God while it's still today, while I still have this breath. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues. What was Saul? He was a Jew of the Jews. He had the authority from the synagogues to persecute the Christians. Where does he go first? Back to that same synagogue. Back to that same place that encouraged him to go out and persecute Christians because he did not believe what he is about to preach. Now he believes it. Why? Because God showed it to him. See, when God shows us something, we're ready to take it elsewhere. He showed him immediately. He preached the Christ, the anointed one in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Why'd they kill Jesus? Because he said he was the Son of God. Why were they killing the Christians? Because they said he was the Son of God. So what does Paul have the boldness to do? Go right back into that same synagogue and now identify himself as one with a target on him. He says, now I believe. And I can show you he is the Son of God. So he began to immediately do this. I just am so astounded by that. Can you hear me? I am astounded by this, guys. This is the boldness that comes from God. Do you want to be bold? You get it from God. You get it by spending time with Him. You get it by allowing Him to flow it through you. You get it by getting out of His way and letting Him do it. That's how you get it. It isn't by conjuring it up on our own, so don't wait for that. It's not by some feeling in our gut, because again, that can mislead us. Guys, I'm telling you, it's when we let God do it through us. We just show up. We just show up. And that's what Paul did. He just showed up. And so in verse 21, it says, then all who heard were amazed. Who was it that was hearing? It was the Jews. It was the persecutors. They were hearing him, and they're amazed. Why do you think they're amazed? It says, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Do I get an amen? Do you believe that? Do you witness today that Jesus is the Christ? It's not his last name, guys. It's who he is. That's not his last name. It's who he is. He's the anointed one. And if he's the anointed one, then he's the one that all the promises of the Old Testament were flowing through, and they're flowing through right to us. Guys, if he wasn't the Christ, then the Gentiles are not going in. Every one of us, I would assume, in here probably come from a Gentile background. There may be a few who didn't, but I know I did. I wouldn't even be allowed into the family of God today if it wasn't for Jesus being the Christ. He came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. I praise God that he has included me. And he showed Saul this as well. I want you to understand, guys, that when we allow the boldness of God to flow through us, it increases. He increases. We give him more room to increase. And that's what we see here. But Saul increased all the more in strength. You see, if he would have said, nope, I don't think I'll do that. Nope, that's too risky. I don't think I'm going to go over that synagogue. Because now them people, I remember them. They want to kill people like me now. Because I used to. So no, I don't think I'll do that. he would have stayed small in strength. How many of us do you think may be staying small in strength because we're not exercising what God wants to do through us? We're not giving him room. You see, if we're all filled up with ourselves and my own agenda and what I want to do, there ain't hardly no room for God to be in there. You know, we grieve the Holy Spirit. He ain't going to hang around if he's being grieved. So here's the deal, guys. I believe he continued to grow because he continued to allow God the space that God wanted. Now, is this going to make everybody happy? No. Unfortunately, we'd like to make everybody happy, but it ain't going to happen. In fact, we look here in verse 23. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Well, they killed Jesus for saying this stuff. And they were killing the other Christians for saying this stuff. And so now they got to kill Saul for saying this stuff. It's a simple deduction. They're not going to take it from him any more than what they're going to take it from somebody else at this point until God opens their eyes too. But you see, he still needed to tell the truth. So just because they plotted to kill him, did that mean the game was over? There's still God in the equation, right? When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. Well, here's the deal about that. Sometimes we may have to get away from our enemies for a little while, and that's what Saul does if we look. And so they plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. I wonder why. I guess God must have tipped him off, huh? And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. That story used to scare me to death because I'm a little bit afraid of heights. In fact, I used to be a lot afraid of heights. And I used to think, I don't know, I may just have to stay and die. Or they have to throw me over at night or something like that and hope I'd survive the fall. But you see, guys, God will always provide a way out. They were guarding all the gates. Well, they wasn't guarding all the windows. And so they found a window in the wall and they put him in a basket and they let him out. And you know what? Saul continued to do this for the rest of his life, and he did not die one day, not one moment, before it was God's will, because he put himself in the center of God's will. Saul actually lived to be a fairly old guy for as many times as they tried to kill him. He was a pretty amazing dude, and here's the deal about Saul. I love the statement that he says, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Later on in his life, he had it right. He was sitting in prison when he made that statement, and he really, truly meant it. He knew that they might execute him soon, but he knew that would only be for his better because he'd get to go be in heaven. And he explained it further. He said, you know, because like to be with Jesus, that sounds like a better deal. But to stay is needful for you. So whether I stay or I go, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. And you see, that's how he lived his life. And that's the way we should live our life, letting the boldness of God show through. Don't you ever say that the mention of Christ is not allowed there. Don't you ever say that. Because I'm telling you, Jesus is free to be anywhere. Jesus is the king of the universe. I think he's allowed into anywhere. Amen? Now, there might be a price to pay. I don't know. And then again, it may change everything if you open your mouth. But I know one thing. If he tells you to do it, you better do it. Because if you'll do it, he'll increase you. He'll increase you. Because his power will flow through you. And he says in verse 26 here, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. So now, remember, not everybody's happy whenever you're doing God's will. Sometimes people are unhappy. So he gets to the disciples in Jerusalem, and they all run. You know, so to speak. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. Everywhere he goes, people are trying to kill him. He must be doing the wrong thing, right? Must be doing the wrong thing. If every time you tried to preach Jesus, people tried to kill you, would you just assume you must be doing the wrong thing? We probably, a lot of us would. But here's the deal with Saul. He knew. He knew what God had shown him, and there wasn't nobody going to take it away. There wasn't nobody going to convince him different. And I'll tell you, what we need to pray for is that God would teach us, that God would show us, that God would convince us, that God would impress it upon us. I can tell you, God has shown me without a doubt that He is the way. And guys, I can tell you before that, I wasn't willing to follow. I would have definitely not been willing to die for it. I would have definitely not gone out of my way to try to preach it. But because He showed me, because I know it to be true, because God opened my eyes, I am willing to do whatever I need to do to try to take the gospel to whoever will listen. I praise God that He can do that in a man like me. He can do it in a man like anybody. He did it in a man like Saul. He changed him. He turned him around. He empowered him. And you see there in verse 27, toward the end of that, it was said that he preached boldly in Damascus. And then whenever he went to Jerusalem, guess what? He continued to speak boldly in the name of Jesus. You see, and it began to happen immediately because he was absolutely sure what he had seen because God opened his eyes. And then it says in verse 30, when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Guys, here's the deal. Do the churches in America look like they're multiplying? No, they're actually shrinking. So I would say that what we need to ask for is an outpouring of the Spirit that will really show us without a doubt who Jesus is and our part in it. And that we would get out of the way so that He could flow through us, that we would stop letting our personality and our wants and our dislikes and all that stuff getting in His way of flowing through us. We should be a conduit, a pipeline, like an open pipe with nothing in it but Jesus to flow through us. Do you guys ever have a stopped-up pipe in your house, a drain? I used to live in a mobile home. And in a mobile home, that dirty water's got to run a long ways from one end to the other. You know what I'm saying? And I used to be underneath that thing all the time because all that grease and stuff that would get in the drain would kind of stop it up. You ever think sin does that to us and Jesus' ability to flow through us, the Holy Spirit's ability? I think it can. So that's another one. We just need to get it out of the way. How do you get it out of the way? You confess it to God. You agree with Him. You repent of it. And here's the cool part. 1 John 1:9 says, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He opens up the pipeline. Now, we can't keep returning back to it willingly. Repentance means turning away from. Okay, first we agree with God, then we turn away from it. And we put ourselves in a position that God can use us. That's what Saul did. We're going to go through just a couple of points here. Main scripture I want you to think about there is what we see there. It's immediately that he began to do that. And then I want you to understand, boldness is not dependent on our strength alone. Look at what the same Saul, as we know of, as Paul, in Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. That's how we stand. It's by the power of His might. How mighty is our God? He's got all the power. How mighty am I? Not very mighty. How mighty are you? Not really very mighty. I had somebody talking to me the other day, just a couple days ago, and they were talking about, you know, it just feels so bad when you feel like you don't have any control. I think we could probably all say an amen to that. But you see, whenever you know Jesus has got the control for you, that don't feel so bad then. You know what I'm saying? If you stop trying to be the pilot and him the co-pilot, and you go ahead and move over and let him be the pilot, you don't have to have control. He's got it. It's okay. We're good because he's got all power and all might. And then I just want to skip down a few verses so that we kind of have the flowing thought here. It talks about the whole armor of God and what it looks like. And then in verse 18, we pick it back up, praying always. So how do we access this power? He tells us, praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Who is it who's leading our prayers? It better be the Spirit. And if it is, we're praying rightly, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. What does perseverance mean? Keeping on, keeping on. We don't quit. And supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly This is Paul talking here. This is getting toward the latter part of his ministry, and he's still asking them to pray he'll be bold. I don't know anybody as bold as him, and he's wanting more boldness. They've done tried to kill him I don't know how many different ways and how many different times, and here he is saying, pray for me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen? That was what his life was about, and I'm telling you, God answered that prayer. It is said of Paul in church history that as he was putting his head on the chopping block, he was still leading people to the Lord. That after they chopped his head off, guys, one of his executioners, now this ain't in the Bible, but this is said of church history, in church history, that one of the executioners said, I too am like him. You'll have to do it to me. Amen. He was willing at that point because Paul was so filled with the Spirit that he was preaching Jesus right up to the point of his last breath on earth. And you know what? People were changing. People were hearing. People were believing because, man, he was a clean pipeline. He was wholly devoted. He wasn't all about his stuff. He was all about God's stuff. And you know what? That ain't a bad place to be, guys. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything you need will be added unto you. If we'll just put God first, we'll have that power. Here's kind of thinking another thought there. You got these notes in your bulletin, little sheet. Yours is about half as big as mine because, well, I'm getting older. My glasses aren't strong enough to go that small. But anyway, you take this home with you and just kind of look these over. Let's look at the next slide there. Here's the deal, guys. You may be wondering, how does the Holy Spirit do this in us? You know, you may want to look for some signs. Holy Spirit just does certain things to strengthen us. Okay? First one is, He makes us absolutely sure of the gospel. You need to be absolutely sure of this thing. If you're not absolutely sure, if you're even thinking there's a 10% chance there's another way to heaven than Jesus, you won't open your mouth and say anything to anybody. Okay, here's the statistics. Here's the statistics. All right? Less than 5% of the church are even making a plan to tell other people about Jesus. So that tells me 95% of the church nationwide aren't real sure. We need to ask God to make us real sure. Because I can tell you, if I wasn't real sure about it, I wouldn't be up here preaching to you today. I resisted it for a long time, but I'm absolutely sure of it. Okay? Another thing He does to strengthen us. He reassures us of the final destination. Guys, you know why I'm so sure and I'll go anywhere I can that people will listen? Yeah, I know, that sounds kind of scary because there's some scary places to go. But if God empowers me and strengthens me, I know I can because He's reassured me of the final destination. Guys, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Death ain't the enemy. Death is the portal to heaven for the believer. Not for the non-believer. For the non-believer, this is the best they'll ever see. For the believer, this is the worst we'll ever see. This life right here. You see, heaven is so much better, I got nothing to fear. You know, I'm not going to do anything to get there earlier. I mean, I'm not going to, like, test God, but if God says go, I can go. Man, I've braved a lot of pit bulls since I've been here. And this little old cur dog just about got us yesterday. His chain was that much longer than I thought it was. Brother Bill said he could feel his breath through his pants leg. And so then I got up on the porch, and I didn't realize there was a little gap underneath the rail. That dog was trying to bite me through the gap. But it's okay. God protects us. He really does. Because I'm absolutely sure of my final destination. Even if I get a little dog bite along the way, it'll be okay because there's a bigger thing. If that person don't know Jesus, they're going to go to hell whenever they die. I say that really outweighs it. Okay, so if God sends me there, I don't have to fear. He also helps us fear God more than man. Do I get an amen to that? We need to fear God more than man. The fear of man proves to be a snare, it says in the Scripture. See, if you're more worried about what people think of you than what God thinks of you, you're never going to open your mouth. You're never going to be bold in your witness. But guys, if you're more concerned with what God thinks about you than what people think about you, you'll pray first and then you'll open your mouth. Because you want God to be pleased. Okay? And then he helps us to care about the lost. May I say, He helps us love lost people. You see, I knew I didn't love lost people, and I probably still don't like I should. But one day I realized, man, I just really don't love them near like I should. Why don't I cry out for them? Why don't I cry about their lostness? Why doesn't it bother me? So I asked Jesus. I said, I want you to show me and give me your heart for the lost. Because I know he loves the lost. He went to the cross for us. Every one of us were lost and dead in our trespasses and sins. He went to the cross for us. And so I was a couple, 3 weeks later after I prayed that, I began to see lostness in a much different light. And I found that I just sat down one afternoon in a prayer service and I began to cry. And I couldn't stop for over 3 hours. And I mean, really, I thought maybe I lost my mind. I'm not a big crier. Anybody that knows me pretty well knows, I mean, I'm not trying to make a show. It was embarrassing I was crying so much. The rest of the prayer group, like, they didn't know if they should try to, you know, call somebody to help me or what, but I just couldn't stop crying. And you know what? I was praying about it. I even called my wife. I was in a foreign land. It cost me $100 for that phone call. But I said, man, you got to pray for me because, like, I feel like I'm losing my mind right now. I am so broken. I don't know what to do. And she did. She prayed over me. Whenever I hung up the phone, Jesus whispered to me something. He said, I thought you asked me to show you how I feel about the lost. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. It transformed the way I look at lost people. I don't laugh at their silliness anymore because it ain't funny. They're lost and they're dead in their trespasses and sins, guys. They can't see what they're doing. They don't know. Their mind don't work right yet until they're saved. Guys, we need to be like broken for them, and God's power will give us the ability to do that. If you're broken for the lost, you'll talk to people about Jesus because you know what's going to happen if you don't. You may be the last person in line to get a chance to talk to them right before they die, and you don't know that. So, like, it ain't all up to us, but our part is up to us. And so we just need to be willing to be used of God. And then the last one, and this ain't the last, like, you know, like it's the only truths about what God will do to us, but this is the last I could think of. He helps us love the truth. Guys, if you love the truth, you won't be satisfied to spread lies. You can't do it. You just can't go along with lies anymore if you love the truth. You love the truth so much, you will actually be willing to die for it. Those disciples were willing to die for the truth. Paul was willing to die for the truth. Just a couple more, guys, if you want to stick with me here. Paul knew the cost. Don't think that he did it just because he didn't know the cost. He knew the cost. In fact, Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, I promised you we'd talk about things that Jesus showed him. He says, but the Lord said to Ananias, him, he said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul knew the cost, and he did it anyways. Guys, I want you to know, it's good for us to know that it's going to cost us something. It makes it worth more to us, and we will be more committed if we start out knowing the cost. Guys, you're going to lose some friends. Might even be some of your family members will get mad at you from time to time. There's going to be people within the church that ain't even going to like to hear the truth sometimes. But guys, we got to love the truth more. And we got to be willing to suffer for his name's sake. Did Jesus suffer for us? Did he say on that cross, I think I've changed my mind. They're not worth it. I really don't want to suffer that much for them. None of us were worth it, guys. Jesus did it anyways. How dare we tell him we're not willing to suffer for him? We really need to be willing to. In fact, we're called to it. Philippians 1:30, I think it is, says that we're called not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his name's sake. So we need to be willing to do that. He did it for us. And so we're going to end with Acts 9:28-29. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in, going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. He knew that it was not going to make him popular, but he kept doing it anyways. And I can tell you, this was just the beginning of his ministry. But man, did he have a fruitful ministry. How many churches were started through Paul's ministry? How much of the New Testament is written today that we know about, even how to do church because of Paul? God did an amazing work through Paul. He gave him insight. He gave him vision into heaven like nobody else in the world ever saw. But he had to suffer to get there. I can tell you, Paul ain't suffering no more, guys. He is in heaven. And I'll be honest with you. Jesus is going to be the main focus whenever I get there. I know that, and I can't wait. But I also know Paul's going to be there, and I can't wait to meet him. I'm going to have forever to talk to him about what's going on and what his life was really like and all the people who are ending up in heaven because of his ministry. Man, oh man, what a glorious time that's going to be. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it for you. It's worth it for me. I want you to know it's worth it. So let's be bold by the power of God. Let's get out of the way and clean out the pipes so that he can flow. Amen? Amen. He said he's going to make us like springs of living water. Now let's do it. Church, we've got what we need. We got the Holy Spirit. Let's let him flow through us. Let me pray for us right now. Dear Father, first of all, I want to pray for this group. If there's anybody here that don't have the Holy Spirit living in them because they have not surrendered to Jesus, let them come forward today and give their heart to you. And Lord, then they can become a spring of living water. You'll flow through them. Lord, for the rest of us, we might have let our pipes get kind of clogged up with some junk that don't need to be in there. And so, Lord, help us to allow you to clean us out. We need the Roto-Rooter to come and just clean us out, reveal any sin that might be in our lives. Help us to repent of it today. You can make us a new vessel to be used of you. Lord, you are faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Help us to open up our lives so that you can flow through us. Give us that holy boldness that comes only by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, bless us today and help us to go out from here and be willing to be bold for you. That boldness is going to look different in different situations. It's going to be the boldness to love. It's going to be the boldness to say kind words to somebody who needs a kind word, to encourage. It's going to be the boldness to speak truth even when it's not popular to you. It's going to be the boldness to ask somebody from time to time in whatever fashion we can, if you were to die today, do you know where you might go? Because, Lord, we want them to know that you're the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. There's no other way to heaven except Jesus. No other name under heaven by which one must be saved. So help us to be holy. Help us to be powerful in the power of God so we can be used of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand for a song. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Have you ever been disobedient to God? Can anybody give me a witness on that? Yeah. And you kind of knew, you know, what he was telling you to do, and you just kind of wouldn't do it. How'd you feel? Miserable. It's miserable. You want to see a miserable person, you find a Christian who's disobedient to God. And they'll just be absolutely miserable, unbearable to be around. You know? And trying to look for happiness outside of obeying Jesus. And there's just no other way but to trust and obey. So if there's any area of your life you're not obeying him, I pray that you'll do business with him today, okay? And pick up the strength from him to do whatever it is he's calling you to do. I'm thankful you were here today. I hope that you were kind of energized a little bit in your inner being, that you'll look into those scriptures deeper, go back to those scriptures and look them over deeper, and go forward with God. He's got the power. You don't have to come up with it on your own. Praise God for that. So, do we have any birthdays?